school as going through, I'm seriously going to write a book about being the daughter of a coach. Because people don't understand what kind of shit I went through.
What coach has been there for that long?
No, we're not going to go into this.
Oh, Mike
I'm
Pope.
I'm anonymous.
Which Mike Pope.
His name was allowed to remain anonymous.
Mike Pope. You're the daughter of Mike Pope.
No, I'm not.
You're the daughter of Shula.
No, I'm not.
What about that short guy with that big nose?
That's Shula, isn't it?
No, I don't know.
I'm not telling you.
What about that one guy, the defensive guy?
I can't tell you who it is. I'm just going to be here to tell you that we need, after all of these years, I've been through so much hell as a teenager.
What kind of hell?
Can you score some tickies?
Okay, I'll give you an example.
Can you get us some free tickets?
Listen, when I was in high school.
Can you introduce us to the Bengals?
Do you really want to be introduced?
Of course.
No.
Can you get Wilkinson down here to be on our show?
Yeah, we want to talk to Big Daddy and that John Copeland character.
Can you get him down here in the studio?
And Klangler with his big cowboy hat on and his two for 12 for own arm.
Row tickets behind the Bengals at 50-yard line.
All right, we'll show you some respect now and let you speak.
Okay.
Go.
What I just want to say, I feel for all of those kids in high school and in college whose parents are the have been the critics of the media and et cetera, because it's really hard for us because, you know, we have to see our parents go through all kinds of hell, you know, like, you know, the team sucks, blah, blah, blah. And we see fair weatherness in people. Like, I can see people who want to be my friends just because the Bengals are doing good. You know what I'm saying? Like, in high school, I think I had teachers who gave me good grades because they were the football coach, you know, and they knew who my father was. And
yeah, and who is your dad again?
He's a coach for the Bengals. And I just wanted to say, you know, if there's anybody out there, I can totally relate to that. And that's the problem for teenagers who are growing up. If their parents are a product of the media, it's really hard because, you know, we have to face these people every day who, you know, like lie to us or pretend to be our friends because of who our parents are and, you know, backstabbing when we're losing or, you know, you can really see who's your true friends, but... It's something that's hard, I think, that kids in high school have to go through.
Can you get us some free tickets for that home opener against the Browns?
Yeah, you really care about my feelings. I feel that. You're paying for me. But
I feel so much pain for you.
You know, that's why I haven't procreated yet, because my kid will go through so much hell being the son of Chris and Rob.
It's true.
No. The son of Rob. We are not going to have any children together.
We're not?
No, we're not. Sorry, Rob.
Well, I just wanted to... I've never really said that to anybody, and I was listening to your radio station. I thought, you know...
So do you think that's why that Lisa Marie Presley woman married that Michael Jackson? Because they were such two big freaks being raised in the media spotlight like that?
I don't know. Another great role model, Michael Jackson. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I know him personally.
I don't know. I mean, I really have no comment on that. Probably.
Well, I don't know. Who do you think role models should be? Chuck Norris?
No.
How about the chicks in L7?
Like, I do think role models should be parents and things like that. I mean, they are for me, you know, but I mean...
When I was a kid, my role models were Johnny Bench and Pete Rose. The Big Red Machine were who I looked up to until I got into puberty.
Mm-hmm.
Then who'd you look up to?
Cheryl Teagues. But enough of that.
You know, Cheryl Ladd has a new show. It's called, like, Waikiki Beach. And she's a chopper pilot in Hawaii. And it's really good.
Well, what if, unlike the other radio stations in town who said that the Bengals suck so much, what if Rob and I start saying how great the Bengals are and how they're going to win next week?
Well, how about this? Not that.
Then you can hook us up with them free tickets.
How about if we say how bad the Bengals suck, which they do, and they are going to do awful, but at the same time we say, but this shows absolutely no reflection on the coach's kids.
No, that's not what I mean. I'm just saying, like, in personal everyday life, like, I feel the right for the media to criticize all that they want. That's totally cool, and that's their job. I mean,
and what would they say?
But what I'm saying, listen, what I'm saying is, like, when I go to school every day and I have people who either kiss my ass or bitch at me, you know, it's really hard after a while because you start to wonder, you know, God, are these people liking me for me or for who my father is?
Betsy, my heart does bleed for you, but keep this in perspective. Dweezil Zappa and Julian Lennon got it a lot worse than you.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying that. I'm just giving you... I'm saying, like, those people, like their kids. I'm just saying any people whose parents are the product of the media, that is a hardship that kids have to go through. And that's all I'm saying.
It's Sam Weish. Is your dad Sam Weish?
No. Would I be living in Cincinnati?
I don't know.
Mike Brown. Is your dad Mike Brown?
No, he's not. And, I mean, does it really matter? I'm just trying to speak for people who have, you know, have gone through that. And if you guys think I'm a crybaby, I'm sorry, but...
No, I don't think you're a crybaby.
Yeah,
that's fine.
You're making fun of me, and I'm
We're not making fun of you.
Okay.
We're laughing with you.
That's beautiful.
And the deal, you know, you bring up a good point, Betsy, because there are so many celebrities now that there will probably be more children of celebrities.
That's true.
And the way that, if you notice every year, there's more celebrities than there was the year before, the way it's going, by the year 2000, I think two out of every three people is going to be a celebrity.
Then it'll be two out of three kids screwed up.
Yeah.
Well, I hope I, you know, made you think about something. I mean, I don't know if it's, I'm not trying to sound like it's just me. I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of kids out there who have major parents. Like,
well, what do you think? You think that, how do you think your dad feels? He probably has it worse.
I feel terrible for my father.
He probably can't go to the grocery store, just like Elvis. He gets mobbed by ladies, doesn't he?
Exactly. But the thing is with professional sports, so many people put, like, that's their life. I mean, Sunday, like you guys said, you like to drink a beer and just watch the game or whatever.
Not really. I hate football.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, in general, a lot of people really enjoy sports. And it's really sad when it becomes, you know, it becomes someone's life. Like, you know, I feel really bad for my father because he worked so hard and nobody can see the good in that. And, you know, I'm not trying to sound like a crybaby because I'm not. It is painful to see someone you love, like, go through, you know, the media.
It's going to be painful to see your dad lose 14 more times this year, too.
Yes, it really is. And I feel really bad. But, you know, what can you do but support, you know?
Right.
So... That's what I try
to
do.
Are you saying that he catches hell when the team is losing 14 games in a season?
Well, the thing is about
when he goes
dad,
down to the grocery store?
Yeah, the thing is about him is he takes it, you know. He'll say, you know, well, it's their team is only as good as me.
People
know?
Really recognize the running back's coach or whoever the hell your dad is?
Yeah, they do. But not so much. You know, someone will see him and be like, hey, you know. And, you know, and sometimes they'll be like, God damn, Dad, how do these people know you? But, you know, they really do. People are really into it. I mean,
tell him to grow a mustache during the season, then during the off season he could shave it off.
Works for Ken Anderson.
Yeah, or just like tell him to wear a fake beard on the sidelines.
Okay.
Is Ken Anderson your dad? He's a coach now.
Ken Anderson. This is Betsy Anderson. Betsy Anderson!
No, I'm not. I'm not Ken Anderson's daughter. You have named every coach but my dad. My dad has been here, been at the Bengals the longest. And God help me.
The linebacker's coach.
No.
The cornerback's coach.
No.
The receiver coach.
You are... Yes.
I thought after that Weish and Boomer thing went down, I thought that Mike Brown just fired all of them.
No, he's been there since 80.
You're the receiver's coach,
no,
daughter.
No.
Do you like Mike Brown, or do you think he's...
Oh,
kind of
you're
weaver?
The offensive tackle guy coach.
Very good.
Oh, what the hell's... Yeah, that guy is kind of famous. Oh, what the hell's his name? Yeah, Joe Walters just broke his leg. He's out for the year. Yeah. But your dad is just pulling his hair out.
Well, I don't know.
Betsy, you're our first celebrity.
See, that's what I have.
We had Stephen King on.
Listen, let me just reinforce my point. People find out who I am, and they want to kiss my ass. They want tickets. They want.
Betsy, is there anything we can do for you?
Yeah.
What can we do to get some tickets out?
Is there something you'd like to hear? Is there a song you'd like to hear?
No, actually, I just stumbled upon you guys late night. I mean, I couldn't sleep, and I just turned on the radio. I've never listened to you guys in my life.
Keep on stumbling.
You don't know about the Chris Rom late night talk show?
Huh?
You don't know about the Chris
Rom? No, I listened to a couple nights ago. I listened to some other thing like Bubbles in the Thing.
Oh, gee. Whiz.
And then I was like, shit, what is this? And I listened to it more, and it was interesting. So I thought I'd put it on tonight and see what was going on.
Well, we're so glad you did, because that's really wonderful, and we feel honored and privileged that you decided to listen. And then more than that, you decided to call. That is just absolutely tremendous.
Are you being smart? Are you serious?
I am very serious.
We love all of our callers, except for them 14-year-old little punk-ass little punks that call up and just give us a hard time because they're punks.
I knew the moment that you called that you were more intelligent.
I knew from the moment you called that you were the daughter of a celebrity.
Oh, whatever.
Yes, Betsy McNally.
I started talking about role models, remember? And someone, like, cut me off and said something about Maya Angelou.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss McNally.
See, you wouldn't even know I was in college.
Oh, really? Where do you go to school?
I go to Michigan State.
Wow!
Ann Arbor.
No, that's East Lansing. Ann Arbor's Michigan.
Oh.
What a beautiful campus.
Oh, yeah, it really is. I love it.
Is that where you have the big dope festival every year?
That's at Michigan.
So what do you have at Michigan State?
Michigan State, we're green and white. We're the Spartans.
Right, you're in mourning over magic.
Yeah, somewhat. We've got major... It's major... Once you go there, it's in your blood, kind of like. You get a lot of pride and... I mean, you know, George Perlis type situations.
You got Judd Heathcote.
Yeah, we
the dumbest coach in the Big Ten.
Yeah. And, yeah, you come up and visit.
Can we crash at your pad?
Heck yeah.
Because you sound like a really brilliant, articulate, fine young woman, and we wish you well.
Well, thank you.
You sound cute, too.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Hey, when does school start? Why are you still hanging out in Cincy?
I'm leaving on Friday.
Are you guys on quarters or semesters?
Semesters.
What's your major?
What do you think my major is?
Sports medicine?
Phys ed, something like that.
It's phys ed.
Is it phys ed?
No, actually, I used to be a competitive gymnast, and I want to be a gymnastics coach. So
I bet you're in great shape.
Well, I used to be. I broke my back, but that's a long story, and I'm not going to go into it.
Not on the air.
People on your listening waves are probably sick of hearing me. But, no, I'm an English major, actually.
Well, you could teach English and then coach gymnastics. That
would
be
exactly what I want to do.
That would be wonderful.
And I, you know, coaching is in my blood. I really believe it.
I hope all your dreams come true, Betsy.
Thank you. Is this which one are you?
Rob,
you've been very special.
Send us a Michigan.
What about me?
You've been a bastard.
I forgot his name, Brian. Robin.
Yeah,
Brian?
Yeah, the Brian and Rob show. Hey, send us a postcard for Michigan State, will you?
Okay. Well, I don't have your address.
Okay, get a pen and pencil then.
Jot this down.
Okay.
You got a pen and pencil?
No.
Well, we'll
get
just
it together, babe.
Hold on, I'm on the cordless. I can't hear what you're saying, so let me run over here. And
okay, she's going to get a pen and paper. She's
okay,
going to get a pen and paper.
I'm doing this.
Oh no, well we really appreciate. We love getting mail, and especially from someone as important and beautiful and brilliant as you.
Okay.
Rob here just sucking hard.
What?
Send it to Chris and Rob.
That's Chris and Rob. There's no Brian involved.
Right.
Chris and Rob.
Care of WAIF. Post Office Box 6126, Cincinnati, 45206.
45206.
That's P.O. Box 6126, Cincinnati, 45206. And
okay,
that goes for everyone out there tuned in. We love fan mail, and we also like food.
Betsy, and if you send us a postcard and we get it, say, you know, 2 weeks from now, it'll probably actually get in our mailbox like 6 months from now.
Oh.
Yeah, we might get it before Easter.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
There's a good chance.
Well, I might have some VIP because I was a very special guest, right?
Right.
You sure were. You were a VIG.
Did I brighten up the night a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Like a meteor, like a comet streaking across the dull gray sky.
Well, great. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I called.
Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Chris and Rob, Late Night Talk Show. We'll be right back. 749-1444.
They say you're not my friend. You've been here through thick and thin. And for that little girl, love you. And all I wanna do is talk about you. I'm here to say I love you more each day. And I just wanna tell the world that I love you so. Down because I love you as much as I do. But they don't know what you've done for me. You make such a happy man out of me. And I'm here to say love you every day. Yeah. And I just wanna tell baby. Oh, yeah. I love, I love, I love, I love every little thing.
a jungle noise?
You know, like... Make a jungle noise.
Like a baboon or something?
Yeah, like that.
Hi, everyone. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And the phone number here is 749...
Dude, we're supposed to chant the damn phone number together now?
Yeah, let's chant it together. Ready?
No.
Steve, you're on the air with Chris and Rob.
Hey, man, are there any more of those big giant Wonder Bra ads in the paper anymore? Or is that just a last week thing?
Boy, Rob, you are particularly sexy.
Oh, shut up, man. I was in Oxford.
I said sexy.
I was in Oxford, man.
Steve.
Yep.
You there?
Yep.
Okay, sound off.
I got a problem, man.
What's that?
It's all these punks out on the street.
Oh, what can you do with them, man?
I mean, like, there's three things you can do with the punk. People just start stuff with you, and I think that's a big problem today.
Yeah, right, man. If you look at a guy cross-eyed, he wants to shoot you.
No, but, like, we were playing basketball up at a park just the other day, and we seen a kid get beat up. I mean, two guys just beat him down with a baseball bat.
For what?
They just got in a fight over a basketball game.
What, like you fouled me? No, I didn't.
Yeah, something like that.
You traveled, dude. No, I didn't. Here's a Louisville Slugger that says I didn't.
But, I mean, that's just wrong.
It is wrong. People have no respect for other people. Even though I don't respect anybody, I won't hit anybody unless they hit me first.
Exactly. I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with a fight or nothing like that, but just walking around looking for people to just mess with, that just ain't cool.
Punks are a big problem in society.
No, just Clifton.
I think Clint would agree.
Punks are a big problem in Clifton. What part of town were you in?
Delhi.
Mm. See?
I got punks in Delhi.
There's punks everywhere, man.
Delhi ain't that bad, but just like, I got most of my friends living Price too, and that's terrible.
Big Jim's got a bug in his hair.
Oh, man alive.
Thanks, Steve.
Right. We're talking about the issues, the concerns, the matters that have great gravity to the young people of America today, and Jim's got a damn bug in his head.
Crawling
just
around
totally
like there.
Breaking our momentum and stuff.
Hey, Rob.
Good gosh.
You're lucky you were running late tonight. You didn't come over to my apartment before our show this evening.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bat in my kitchen.
He did not.
There was Jim helped me shoot
you
it out.
You had a bat? What kind of bat?
It was an ugly bat.
What kind of bat?
An ugly bat.
Just a brown bat?
An Norwoodian brown bat? Norwood bat.
A little brown Norwood bat.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you get him out of the house?
Shot him.
What'd you hit him with?
I shot him with a BB gun. Bing! Travis.
Yeah.
What do you want?
I just wanted to call and agree with that last guy.
There are too many punks in America.
Yeah, same thing with me. I agree with what you said earlier about, like with me, you know, I go to the mall and stuff, and people want to just shoot you because of the way you dress or something. That's stupid.
Would you make eye contact with the guy? Yeah, well, you asked for it. What do you want?
Well, no, just because I was, like, wearing black jeans and a Metallica shirt and stuff, you know, he got all
black,
pissed off.
What? Black jeans and a Metallica t-shirt?
Yeah, and a pair of
Why don't you just shirt. Wave a flag that says, beat my ass? You were asking for it, pal. You were asking for it. Black jeans and a Metallica t-shirt. My goodness.
Well, I don't see nothing wrong with the way I dress.
Neither do I, man. I was being facetious.
I mean, I don't walk up on these dudes that wear these big orange jeans that are like 12 sizes too big and hang down to their knees and stuff and pull their boxer shorts up to their necks and...
Whatever happened to Chris Cross? They're hanging out in the mall now?
I don't know, but just it's stupid how people act nowadays. And that was my... That's one of the problems facing this young person of America.
Thank you very much, Travis.
Yeah, see you later, man.
Take it easy.
You know, and we, after him, you know what we need?
What? A little Herb?
Some happy music. Let's get happy. 749-1444. Let's quit thinking about these punks and these assholes that are out on the street. Let's start thinking positive thoughts.
You know, back in my heady undergraduate days when I had to live on campus.
Oh, yeah?
There was a bat up on the girls' floor.
Was there?
Oh, so we all used that as an opportunity to go up there with our tennis rackets in hand and do battle with the beast.
And how did it work out?
He swooped us, and I ran like a little kitten.
I'll tell you, that thing swooped me and Jim. And I've never seen such a big guy as Jim
run
my
gosh.
So fast.
You know, and they say that really bats don't have any higher ratio of rabies than other animals. But there's just something
they
about
them. They are just
them.
Ugly. They're ugly and evil, and they'll suck your blood.
That's only vampire. Well, I think there's like two or three kind that suck your blood.
No, they will suck your blood. These Norwood bats will suck your blood.
Norwood
bat. Yes, they will.
Yeah, a Norwood bat flies around looking for a castle.
They know which Norwoodians have just imbibed castles and which Norwoodians haven't eaten for a week, and they go for the real fat, ones that just got done over the castle.
They have that extra sensitive radar.
And when they saw Jim, man, when they saw Big Jim, they swooped at him.
His big bat eyes lit up. Hello. Was there one bat or two bats?
There was just one bat, but boy, he was an ugly bat.
How big was he?
It was as big as my head.
Oh, you're lying.
He was as big
as my
head.
He was as big as my head.
He was as big as like a big robin.
He was as big as a squirrel?
Yeah, he was as big as a squirrel with big, grody, grotesque, hairy wings.
I feel dirty. If I have like a fly in my house, you got a damn bat. You're just a pig, man. Hey, Jim, what's going on?
Hey, guys, what's up?
What do you do if you get a bat in the house? Hello?
Jim, you're breaking up.
Yeah, it's a little better.
Are you on a car phone or something?
No, my phone has a bad connection. I had to hit it.
I had to hit it.
It's like stupid people and people that don't look at me right, I hit them.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Of course you are.
Yes, of course.
Will you relax, damn it?
Yeah, relax.
We're in the middle of a phone... We talk about people disrespecting people. We're in the middle of talking to Jim, who seems like a pretty intelligent kind
of
guy.
We have a couple of guests here in the studio audience.
Play a song. Jim sucks. Play a song. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was calling really in regards to that 19-year-old Pizza Hut girl.
Jenny, you want her phone number?
Jenny, a little later, but, you
think she's hot to trot?
She sounds cute, but, I have, to find out, what band she listened to, and if she just listens to, L.A. Guns, and this one time.
L.A. Guns, right.
This one time, I had this blind date set up, and this friend of mine says, oh, she listens to The Cure. She's perfect for you. And because, I dress in black all the time and pretty grim, and I said, that's cool. And so I met
this girl. It's Friday. I'm in love.
And she was pretty cute. And we talked. And so I said, so who else do you like besides The Cure? Because I was expecting the typical Susie and Joy Division. She was like, oh, Guns N' Roses and L.A. Guns. And I was just like, man, how can you like those bands? I'm a pretty critical person.
You know, Jim, some people actually have a wide taste.
Some people do, and I don't. I have to admit.
Jim, we are going to do Jenny a favor. Jim, we're going to do Jenny a favor, and we're not even going to give you her phone number.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay,
this guy sounded all right to me.
No, he's too close-minded. What? We don't want to hook good old Jenny up with a guy like that.
Dude, like you're a big L.A. Guns fan.
It doesn't matter. That guy, he just has a bad attitude, and he likes The Cure.
Cure's pretty good.
Yeah, right.
For what they do.
Yeah, right.
For combining a really depressive sensibility with bright, sparkly pop songs, they're really good at it.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they are.
And that lead singer wearing makeup and all, he looks like a freak.
You know, he weighs 350 pounds
now.
Yeah,
he's big and fat and
he's
greasy.
He's huge.
Too.
He's enormous.
I don't know. I think he's grosser than Boy George was when he first came out.
No, homophobe.
Hello, Jenny.
Hi.
Do you have a list of the bands you like?
The bands I like?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Actually, I listen to all kinds of music, but I really did prefer heavy metal.
Like what?
Like, Megadeth, Metallica, Anthrax.
Overkill.
Overkill, of course.
Do you like to have fun with Mozart? Do ya?
No.
Do you like Budgie?
No.
Blue Cheer?
No.
Man.
The 13th Floor Elevators?
You know who has a new album out? You know who has a new album out? Alvin Lee.
Alvin Lee's
Alvin
back?
Lee has a new... And you know who plays on it?
Who?
George Harrison.
Is he screaming?
You know what songs they do? I Want You, She's So Heavy.
Really?
Yeah. And then they also do I Hear You Knocking, that old song that Dave Edmunds
did. Can you get one
did.
For me up where you were?
I can't even get one for me,
see
man.
See what you can do.
Oh, dude.
And then we'll work on Betsy a little later for the football tickets.
Okay, you guys, listen.
That Betsy sounded like she was really cool. She sounded very smart, bright. She just sounded like a credit to Cincinnati.
I bet she can do a great triple camel, too.
I bet she represents Cincinnati well up there in Michigan.
Okay, Jenny.
What?
What do you want?
I just called to ask that guy what the fuck his problem was.
Nice mouth. You kiss your mother with it.
749-1444 is the phone number here. Let's call out surfing people.
Do without surfing people. What? Who? What?
You said a certain word. You said a prohibited word.
I did not. Chris said something too.
You gotta say
read that again.
The Surf Rider Foundation is a 25,000 strong activist group of surfers and ocean lovers who are working to protect our surface, our oceans, and beaches. Make waves and call 1-800-743-SURF for membership information. What? Yeah, it's a bark too.
Hi, this is the Surf Rider Foundation membership hotline. Did you know that our beaches are dying because of water pollution? In fact, over 2,000 beaches were closed last year due to pollution dumped in our gutter.
There's not 2,000 beaches in America.
So do you want to help save the waves and
bite me
and get a free CD? Join Surf Rider Foundation right now and make a difference. Press 0 for a live operator to find out how. Surf Rider Foundation is an environmental group of 25,000 people nationwide committed to the protection of our waves, world's waves and beaches.
Dude, it's 4 o'clock already.
Anyone can join Surf Rider Foundation and help save our ocean. Press 0 to join today and have your MasterCard or Visa ready. Your $25 membership contribution is tax deductible.
25 also, bones for a free CD.
EcoSurf One, a surfing environmental experience, 10-year anniversary celebration happening August 12th to the 14th in La Jolla, California. The weekend will consist of a dinner party,
eco workshops,
wave night concert, and surf sessions. If you'd like more info, please press 0 for a live operator and leave your address specifying EcoSurf One. If you sign up today for a $25 regular membership, you'll receive a Surf Rider 10-year anniversary keychain, or a free CD from Blind Melon or Luscious Jackson.
Yeah.
A Surf Rider Foundation newsletter.
Blind Melon or Luscious Jackson?
Yeah.
It's getting worse
sticker,
than that.
Membership card and education on programs like the Blue Water Task Force, Wave Watch, Respect the Beach, and Kids for Clean Waves. So
this
press 0 for a live operator
Kids
and ask
for
about
clean
other
waves.
Membership levels too. If you want to send a check or would like more
it's
information,
it like sucks so bad
to
when you're like in a pipeline and a dead otter flies on you.
That
just
South
really sucks.
El Camino Real, number 67, San Clemente, California.
That's where Nixon's from, San Clemente. Write that down.
To speak to the national headquarters about a pressing environmental problem, please call 714-492-8170, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 p.m., West Coast time. And remember, next time at your local beach, for every piece of trash you pick up, you'll get a killer wave from Mother Nature. Guaranteed. So save the wave.
I'm going to go to Acton Lake.
Last time I went to the beach, I picked up a piece of trash. Her name was Roseanne, and I got crabs from her.
You're pretty cool.
Wait, transferring.
You're pretty cool, man. What? Together we're catching away.
Yeah.
Can you talk?
I had to say it. I can't read sign. You know.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together
we're catching a wave.
You know, I think it really sucks when you're catching a wave down a. She get you there? She hung up.
Like a pipeline.
She hung up. Hello.
She hung up.
Hello.
Those damn California people have no sense of humor at all, man.
They got no sense of humor in California.
Did you make a little more noise with that chair?
You mean like?
Could you make a little more noise with that chair?
749-1444. It's 4 o'clock. You're listening to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show.
What?
For cursing.
Oh. WAIF Cincinnati. Play a tune, dude.
Okay.
Third or fourth one. Not just any tune. It has to be exactly the perfect tune. Like, excuse me.
Give us a call. 749-1444.
Yours is a different life. My face that way, the canvas of my skin, serene and strange that
you. With the new album Over the Rhine, take a startling new approach and start moving in new directions they never moved into before. In fact, now it appears as though Over the Rhine is into S&M.
Rick Bird said one of the best years of the was something like that. One of the best albums of the year.
Listen to this, Rob.
That's why EBN will tear it up, I'm sure. This is early Over the Rhine here.
Welcome to the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
The phone number is 749-1444. Tonight's topic, issues and concerns facing today's young men and women. Up next, Ashley. Hello, Ashley.
Hello.
How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
What can we do for you?
Well, I was just listening to your show, and I'm like, you're painting. And
what are you painting?
Well, see, that's my problem. I'm not sure what I want to paint. And
can you paint maybe an impressionistic picture of what you think Chris and Rob look like over the radio? And then maybe you could send it to us, and we could see how accurate it really is.
Yeah, I could do that. I could do that.
Do that, sort of an impressionistic thing. Like, I know some guys will listen to modern jazz and paint a picture, and it just comes out with, like, you know, lots of crazy saxophones.
Yeah? Well, I paint more, like, realistic.
Okay, well, paint a picture of Chris and Rob however you think we look like over the phone.
Okay, how old are you guys?
How old? I'm 27.
Oh, okay.
Rob?
58.
Rob's 58.
Okay. That helps.
Okay.
Yeah, that helps.
Put a little gray in the side. You know, a little day will do you.
But I was just thinking about, like, well, you know, how everything's kind of hard for people our age to decide what they want to do in their life.
Sounds to me like you know what you want to do. You're going to be a world-famous painter.
I hope so.
with paintings and galleries all across the world.
I was thinking about that just the other day.
What's that?
Is anybody a world-famous painter anymore?
No.
Name a working painter, Chris.
A working painter?
No, well, name one that makes a living doing it and would be considered famous, not just like your buddy who you know does it for a living.
Oh.
Who would be someone that people in Cincinnati and Frisco and New York and London would have all heard of?
That's a good question.
Chris? Jim?
There's this guy named Tim paints houses down in Over the Rhine. Graffiti artists.
Yeah, the dude.
Graffiti artists are cool.
The dude that does the very special Christmas album covers. Uh-huh. He paints that little guy.
I don't know his name.
Yeah, see, no one knows anybody's name. There is no such thing as a famous artist anymore.
That's a good question. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know.
Whoa.
No one knows what they're going to do with their life.
There are some, but I think only college professors know who they are.
They're not famous. I'm sure that when the Nutcase was alive, everybody knew his name.
The Nutcase?
Yeah, the guy that, the egomaniac Nutcase that painted the melting clocks.
Dolly?
Yeah, Dolly. I'm sure when he was alive.
What about that guy that puts pink skirts on islands?
Christo.
Yeah, what about him? He's kind
of
famous.
He's a freak. He's just a goofball. He's not famous.
You know, they still have famous classical composers, but they're not that famous because only the music professors at the colleges know who they are.
Like who?
Like Alfred Schnittke.
Yeah.
He's a new guy from Russia, and he's, like, supposed to be the new Shostakovich.
What weight to bear. That's not right, putting that on a young composer.
There's also a guy from New York named John Carigliano, whose dad used to be the first violinist at, like, the New York Symphony years ago or something like that. And Carigliano, he's a composer. He just wrote Symphony No. 1.
Really?
Yeah.
You start off with No. 1?
That's where most of them start.
Can't those guys be like some kind of maniac and call it number 714 or 69? You know, if a guy from Hampton wrote a symphony, he'd call it Symphony number 69.
Ashley.
Yes.
How's your paintings coming along?
All right. They're all right now. They're all in, like, beginning stages.
Jim wants to know what your preferred medium is.
Oil.
Can you put in a happy little cloud?
What?
You know there are no... You know there are no mistakes or only happy accidents.
I'm sorry, I can hear you. Oh.
Don't you ever watch Bob Ross, the happy painter?
Oh.
The guy with the big afro? Let's make a happy little tree right here.
Well, yeah. He's kind of goofy.
He's a great painter. I love his stuff.
Yeah, he's all right.
You know what he'll do sometimes? He'll put tape in an oval pattern all around his canvas. And then when he takes the tape off, he has an oval painting.
Yeah.
And down here, we'll put like a little squirrel here in a tree. Peapod the pocket squirrel.
Okay. Well, thanks, Ashley.
All right.
Keep on plugging away.
Wow, what's going on?
Thanks.
Okay, he can call back now.
Can he? Well, oh, man, down my list. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We are about to talk to a genuine Generation Xer. A genuine 20-something person. We have put together our crack research staff. We told them, hey, track down somebody
we
in their 20s.
We figured if our topic tonight was issues and concerns facing today's young men and women,
one of the youngest men and women we should talk to should be a disgruntled beer salesman from a Cincinnati Reds stadium ballpark because they don't have any work anymore because all the baseball players are on strike.
I'm disgruntled.
Hi, is this Billy D?
Yes, it is, and I'm disgruntled.
Why are you disgruntled besides being unemployed now?
Besides being unemployed?
Do you think it's fair for all these...
What reason is there?
Is it fair for all these rich millionaire ballplayers to go on strike, unemploying people like you?
Well, in the eyes of the players and owners, it's fair. But for us, well, at least there haven't been any vendors or anyone taking shotguns and doing mass murder or whatever, but we're all handling it pretty well, I guess.
Have you Generation Xers been portrayed unfairly in the media?
Unfairly? I think they've been doing okay, but the powers that be, namely the players and the owners, the ones who control this whole thing, they haven't seen the light yet.
What are you going to do to wake them up?
I don't know. I'm working on a plan.
You know what you can do?
But I will eventually get a plan.
You can go in front of Bud Selig's office, right? Or Richard Ravitch's guy's office.
Oh, yeah.
And get a bag full of dog dirt, and then I glide it on fire.
Glide it on fire and let them stomp it out.
Yeah, when they stomp.
And maybe when they do this in unison, if we can get Ravitch and Fear to do this together, maybe going through this hell together will make them see the light and come to some kind of consensus. You know, Rob, you are the answer man.
Thank you.
You are. But
really?
Anyway, I've got problems.
Like,
how am
what?
I going to take my kids to Kings Island? How am I going
to... Kings Island.
Just frustrating. But the most important problem... When I open up the newspaper in the morning, there are no box scores. So instead of seeing how, if Alvaro Espinosa went 0-3 for the Indians, or if Sparky's Tigers gave up another 10 runs, I actually have to read real news. Real news! I'm not used to this. I'm not ready for this.
Do you think that there are diminishing opportunities for today's young people? Do you think they'll be as successful as their parents are?
As successful as their parents?
Yeah. What does your dad do for a living?
He works out of the house. He's a consultant. He works on court cases and the like.
Consultants usually do well, don't they?
Pardon? Yeah, fairly well.
Think you're going to fare as well as him by the time you're 50?
Well, hard to say.
That's selling a lot of beer.
I can stop that. I'll start working out. I'll be a ball player. That's what I'll do.
Perfect the
Then I can go on strike.
You're just all bent out of shape about this thing, aren't you? Are you concerned about racism?
Pardon me?
Are you concerned about racism?
Racism? Yeah.
Are you concerned about AIDS?
Yes.
What's the other ones?
Is there another one?
Yeah, I don't know. There's another one.
Drugs go. Are you worried about drugs?
I think so.
What about the thinning of the ozone layer?
Ozone. I can't go outside without wearing gauze around all my body because of that. I'm getting by.
Are you concerned about lack of respect for other people? Like, you know, if you just look at somebody cross-eyed, they'll kill you.
It's a dog-eat-dog world. And what was it Cliff Clavin said? He's wearing milk-bone underwear. No,
mm-hmm.
that was Norm.
Now everybody is. Now everybody's wearing milk-bone underwear.
Yes.
Does
we're
violence...
not talking the old style of milk bone. We're talking new, improved, the tastier type, although it was never involved in the product testing, so I wouldn't know.
Man, this is getting too deep. You're talking about eating dog food. You need a raise, dude. You're eating too much dog food.
It must be pretty bad for you on employment.
I can't even afford dog food since I'm out of work. I have to go door-to-door asking to...
Are you going to write Deion Sanders a letter to his column at the Cincinnati Enquirer telling him about the plight of the unemployed beer vendor?
I might have to. I feel strongly compelled now. Now that you suggest it, I might
Why don't
just
you do that?
That.
He's got that weekly column at the Enquirer, you know.
Yes, he does. He's on the Hammer fishing tour right now, I believe.
Yeah,
he's doing that and he's fishing for a football team
at the
same time.
That's what he's fishing for. The address is Deion Sanders Care, Cincinnati Enquirer, 312 Elm. Spelled ELM.
312 Elm, ELM.
Cincinnati 45202.
45202.
Yeah, write Deion Sanders a letter and tell him Chris and Rob sent you.
I will do.
Okay, well, thanks, Billy D.
No problem.
Later.
Bye.
Hey, before you sign off?
Yes.
Could you do one thing for us?
I think I know what it is.
Then lay it on us, baby.
One more time?
Uh-huh.
The Chris and Rob Blue!
Now, what a discussion that was. what a salon-type discussion that was. Oh, boy. Hey, please remember, the safety of our children is in all our hands. The speed limit in school zones is still 20 miles per hour. And watch for the kids at lunchtime, will you? Note also that at certain traffic signals, no turn on red is also in effect on school days. Right down the street from your house, no turn on red on school days. One final reminder to always stop when the buses turn on their red flashers. And you must stop at least 10 feet from the bus, whether you approach from the front or the rear. Hey, go ahead, Bill. Hey, from Bill to another Bill.
All right, man. I've got a comment about, you were talking about the artists that, you know, they're all dead and everybody knows them, or they're working and nobody knows them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you mentioned that it's very special. Christmas
records, huh?
Well, at least for him making the album covers, they're just going to reprint some of his old stuff from, like, postcards and all that good stuff that he used to do. But, yeah, he's dead.
Are there any famous living painters?
Robert Longo, he's pretty alive and, I don't know, famous in the art world. Well, you know, it's like famous. I mean, Norman Rockwell was a famous painter, but he was crap, you know?
I like him.
Yeah, what do you mean he's crap?
I like him.
He paints picturesque scenes of Americana.
I mean, okay.
Are you a communist or something, Bill?
Class and we don't study.
Bill, you're a communist,
Norman,
aren't you?
Well,
he's a graphic artist.
Hey, you got your radio on?
A graphic artist. He was an illustrator.
Whatever.
And he was just the old homie. Didn't express anything, any angst. Didn't express any love. Just was just a kind of blah.
There was tons of love in Norman Rockwell.
He had to turn one out every week, man.
That was love.
Well, Picasso turned one out every day. He churned them out. He had like 32,000 pieces of art. Man, that guy was—he did everything. And not that I like him, but he just.
What's wrong with Picasso?
Picasso, that.
Not enough angst.
Picasso didn't have much angst either. He was he was a ladies' man. That Picasso.
He used to cruise around in his Eldorado.
He was never called an asshole.
He was never called an asshole. Not like you.
Well, who do you like, Bill?
Who do I like?
Who expresses enough angst for you? Christo?
Do all artists have to express angst to be taken seriously?
Conceptual stuff's crap. It you know, doesn't show anything. That's crap.
So what is not crap? If Picasso's crap, Rockwell's crap, and Christo's crap, what is not crap?
What is not crap? Gustav Klimt is not crap.
Was he very angst-ridden?
No.
Is it Picasso's fault he could get laid?
No, man.
Well, then,
that's
what's
cool.
The problem?
I'm just saying, his figures are just a bit too chunky for me.
Oh, geez. So you don't like Rubens either, then, I guess.
No.
You like him fit and trim, don't you?
You like a Betty Grable pinup poster.
Actually, that reminds me of
Vargas,
an artist.
The guy that drew the Cars album cover, Vargas.
Yeah, the Candy O car cover. That is badass. That is beautiful. Now, that's graphic art.
Rockwell sucks, but Vargas... Antonio, or whatever, Vargas, the guy that drew for Playboy for 40 years, is great.
He's kick-ass. Kick-ass. And so are those guys that do those, they did D-Light album covers. The ones, I don't know if it was maybe a single cover. Incredibly tacky, like, that when you look at those, like, story Bibles with, like, the Jesus and the crying eyes and totally tacky and really, you know, gaudy colors. Those guys are—they're great. They're,
you know who absolutely
Allman covers too.
You know who the worst of all time was?
Who?
That Escher character.
Yeah, Escher's—he's more of a mathematician, I would think. But I mean, this was really supposed to be just a quick comment, and you know, this is—I don't know. I don't think anybody's really interested in art these days, or poetry for that matter.
No, we love poetry, Chris and Rob.
Forsooth.
I know not why I'm so sad.
Jesus wept.
Yeah, and he's still crying. But I don't know. I don't know, man. It's sad that I think if every poet in the world that is working today died, I think that about 1% of the population would know. And it's sad. I mean, it's really sad that happened. Same with painters, photographers.
When the poems quit rhyming, people quit caring, and when the paintings quit looking like stuff, people quit caring.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's true, too, and I agree. I think there's, like, that Christo, once again, stuff that doesn't...
Or there's, like at the Cincinnati Museum. What the hell is that called, Chris? The one there in Eden Park.
Cincinnati Art Museum.
Yeah, that one. There's, like, pictures, a big, giant orange blob of paint, and then there's a big brown blob of paint going right down the middle of it.
That's crap.
That's cool. Just crap.
That's cool.
But what's cool about it?
It's neat.
Well, it's colored.
There was a bit, you know, it wasn't smooth, so I had to pick a big chunk of the brown paint off.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was like, you know, the guy didn't put it on smooth, so I thought I'd help him out, and I just, you know, tore a big chunk of the brown paint off. It looked a lot better.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Okay, thanks, Bill.
Yeah, man.
Don't go changing.
Okay,
can you
bye-bye.
See Bill in class? Yes, Bill, do you have a comment on this work? It's crap! Hit play.
Wish I knew for me.
Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
We have live in the studio a fella named Mark. Hello, Mark.
What's happening?
Come here.
The microphone's right there.
What's happening, Mr. Rob? What's going on with y'all?
Mark, tell us about issues and concerns facing young men and women such as yourself.
I got a problem with the crime bill, Chris and Rob. You know?
You don't like the crime bill?
No, I don't like the crime bill. I don't like the fact that they're banning weapons in the country from now on. Because, you know, criminals, they don't give a fuck about the law, and they're gonna buy guns, and they're gonna find them regardless of whether or not they're legal or not, and they're gonna shoot people. So it's just gonna stop innocent people and law abiders from buying guns and protecting themselves about it. You know,
don't we have a constitutional right to bear arms to overthrow the government whenever we want?
No, see, that's a discrepancy. The Constitution says that the militia can bear arms, but the militia can't bear arms because the people cannot bear arms because they're not part of the militia. But if you're part of the army, the National Guard, then you can have weapons. But that's what they're doing away with as far as the crime bill goes.
Okay, thanks. Don't say the F word on the radio anymore. Okay, Todd, you're on the air with Chris
and Rob.
Hey, hello.
Hi, Todd.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going okay. How you doing?
Pretty good. I'm pretty tired, and school starting in 2 days. I'm worried.
You gotta go back to school, huh?
Yeah.
School starts on a Thursday?
Yeah, that sucks.
What kind of noise is that? Thursday and Friday, then you get the weekend off?
Yeah, some kind of... to give out books or something.
Whatever. What grade are you going to be starting?
I'll be a junior.
Junior in high school?
Yeah, I told the dude I was 15. I forgot I'm 16. Oh, well.
Oh, man. You got a car?
Yeah.
What kind?
A Taurus.
You got a Taurus at 16?
Yeah.
You got like a grandpa mobile, man. That's great.
It's dad's Taurus.
You got four doors?
Yeah. It's a wagon.
Oh, man, that's great. You can haul your band around in it.
Yeah, I got speakers in the back and stuff.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You got those like purple lights that light up the street as you cruise by?
No. Got nothing but Guns N' Roses. What was that one guy's problem ripping on Guns N' Roses?
Guns N' Roses blow, man.
Now you're dancing, Mr. Brownstone.
Did you know that they just did a song that Charlie Manson wrote?
Yeah, it's great.
It's great, man. It's just silly. Thanks, Todd. 749-1444. In the background, you're listening to Little Miles Davis.
You know what I like about Guns N' Roses?
What's that?
Is that Axl Rose didn't want to leave a movie he was watching, so he's 3 hours late for a concert.
Really?
Yeah.
That happened once.
In Dayton.
3 hours late because he was... What movie was he watching?
He was probably Helter Skelter. He's watching some movie in his hotel room, and he couldn't bear to leave it. So he just takes a steaming Jake on top of 16,000 GNR fans and shows up 3 hours late and damn near causes a riot.
Too bad there wasn't one.
Lots of words come to mind when you think of trying to take the keys of a drunk friend. Words like fight and hassle and puke and dry cleaning. But think of words like coax or outsmart, and get creative to get those keys before your friends hurt himself or someone else. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
friends let their friends listen to
the Chris and Rob late night talk show.
Because if you're really loaded in the middle of the night and you don't want to drive home, just turn that radio on and chill back with us. Greg, you're on the air.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going fabulous. How's it going with you?
Oh, I'm all right. Well, I've got a problem here. I've got a job going on for the summer, and I'm going to go back to school. Going to the Art Academy of Cincinnati.
Oh, you're a painter.
Oh, yes.
No one will ever hear of you.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, I was wondering, mind if you give your advice?
Rob and I are full of advice.
Okay.
We got advice coming out of our...